Welcome to episode number 8 of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name's Pete Everett and I'm your host. And today we're going to do something a little different. Rather than interview a guest, the date of recording is the 25th of April, which is exactly 1 month until GDPR comes into force across the EU. So, what I wanted to do was have one episode where we look at what GDPR means for marketers, I suppose particularly from a UK perspective, but also the regulations do apply to anybody marketing within the EU or holding data of EU citizens. So if you haven't heard about it, well, firstly, where have you been? But GDPR, or the General Data Protection Regulation, comes into force on May the 25th, and as I say, it will affect any company holding data to do with EU citizens. Largely, this is broken down into six areas, and they are the right to access, so allowing people to have access to their own data upon request, the right for erasure, which means that people can request for their personal details to be erased, and that does actually mean erased rather than just removed from their profile. Data portability, to give individuals the ability to request access to the data in an electronic format, which they can transfer. Data breach notification, which means as a service provider, you have 72 hours to notify all of your subscribers of any breach. Privacy by design, which is number 5, which that one's a little bit more complicated, but that's basically to say that systems and processes are set up from their conception to have customer privacy at their heart. And finally, data protection officers, which this area really covers larger organizations where their main activities involve data processing or monitoring. And these people will need to appoint a data protection officer rather than notifying a local data protection authority. So in broad brushstrokes, they are the six key areas of GDPR. Now, Lee Jackson, who was one of my previous guests, has done a fantastic blog and has some great resources on what GDPR means for your website. So I'm not particularly going to cover your website. There's going to be a bit of overlap, granted, but I'm not going to talk here specifically about your website. Instead, I'm going to put a link to Lee's podcast about that. But what I am going to talk a little bit about is how GDPR is going to affect people who are involved in marketing. So, withstanding that, the first area is collecting email addresses. Now, it has been sort of generalized that GDPR is really about email marketing, and in many respects that's not true, but actually one of the biggest outworkings of GDPR is going to be in how email marketing is instigated and managed. The first part is collecting emails. Now, obviously, most people do this through their website or through funnels, marketing funnels, or I guess even through networking events, local networking events. GDPR even applies in that scenario too. Firstly, as a marketer, you are not permitted to use any data you hold prior to May the 25th by default. All of your existing contacts will need to opt in to any marketing communication they receive from you. And that's why over the past few months, you've seen plenty of people running these opt-in campaigns, essentially saying, we want to take your security seriously. We love communicating with you. Please click on this link to opt in to keep receiving emails from us. And if you haven't done one already, that is really a great place to start getting yourself on the right GDPR footing with your audience, because not only does it actually give you the opt-in that you need, but it does show, it gives exactly that message to your audience that this is something that you class as important, their data is important to you. Secondly, once you've received their consent, you need to record that consent. Now, in a few moments, I'll go through and give some a sort of checklist of things that you can do to action these points. But what's really important to know here is that should a GDPR officer come and question you about, you emailed Joe Bloggs about this on this date, when did they opt in, that you have a record that you can go back to, that might be in some proprietary software, it might be in your email automation, it might be wherever, but you'll be able to go back and find the date and the time that that person opted in to receive your communications. Now, there's also a little bit of confusion over how long that consent lasts. The general consensus that I've been party to, and I do need to highlight in all of this, I am not a lawyer. I am a web professional and I'm a marketeer, and this is my understanding of GDPR and how it needs to be adopted by marketers and by companies that marketers work for. If you have any questions, please, please, please go and seek the proper legal advice. However, in terms of how long a consent lasts, it has generally been accepted that should somebody opt into your email marketing and they regularly open your emails or click through from your emails to your website, or you know they regularly interact with those emails, then that consent can last for an indefinite period of time. If, however, somebody opts in and then does not engage with your marketing for a sustained period, now that sustained period is not defined in any of the GDPR legislation that I've read so far. But if they do not interact, then that consent needs to be understood as being revoked. So you may need to consider how you manage your lists, how you manage the consent. And again, should you be challenged on this, that you can say Joe Bloggs consented on the 15th of April 2018 and they have regularly opened emails since that point up until now when you're talking to me about it, or they regularly opened emails up until this point and then we didn't have any opens from them for a 6-month period, so we removed them from the list. That is, in a nutshell, how the consents need to work and how you need to record them. And it is worth noting that there is no set format for this. However, a lot of GDPR is about doing due diligence and making sure you have access to the data and that it is recorded in a safe manner so that should you be challenged, you can access that data securely and safely and quickly in order to prove that you've done the right thing. As a side note, that does probably mean that if you are one of those people that loves recording things in spreadsheets, you probably need to stop doing that. Looking at third-party software and making sure that those platforms are GDPR compliant really does need to be a priority for you and for your business moving forward. So keeping personal data on a hard drive where you can't guarantee the security of that data, the encryption levels, all of that kind of stuff, it's really not a good place to be. So I would fully advise against that. You will probably need to invest in some kind of CRM system if you don't already. Something like HubSpot even. They have a free version that works straight out the box. Just simply by moving your data from a spreadsheet to that will make you far more compliant than holding the data yourself. So I would really recommend that you do that. Now, before we get on to, as I say, a checklist for things that you can do to roll GDPR out into your own workflows, I am under the impression that GDPR doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. One of the things we talk about quite a lot as we're marketing is how having your audience, having a focused audience that you communicate with, that you resonate with, that you build trust with over a period of time helps your business. We talk about that all of the time. You can see it in forums and you hear it on podcasts week in and week out. And actually, GDPR is giving us a brilliant opportunity to weed out our email marketing communications and our audience lists just to those people who actually believe and trust in what we say. The knock-on effect of that is that whilst the numbers may get smaller very quickly in the next few weeks, what you're doing is moving to a database of people that trust you. It will improve your sender status. It will improve the conversations that you have. It will improve the quality of the communication that you have both ways with your audience. And surely that can only be a good thing. And moving forward, what you're going to be doing is adding to that quality audience. Rather than people who are just opting in for the sake of it, that's going to be far more difficult or far more challenging. It's going to be not quite such an easy process, is what I'm trying to say, for people to opt in. And therefore, for people to go through that process that you've outlined on your website or through your funnel or however you decide to do it, those people are going to be far more valuable to you as a business. That is my view. And should you take on board all the information that you can on GDPR and that you roll it out in a positive manner to your business, I really don't see how this can be a bad thing. Now then, what I wanted to do was then just identify a few areas that we've been working on and that we've been working on with clients in terms of applying a GDPR process to your marketing, and particularly your email marketing automations. Again, I do need to stress, I am not a lawyer, and this is our best understanding of the GDPR regulations and how they roll out into a marketing type scenario. So, the first thing to do is to audit your database and confirm your opt-in status for all of your current contacts. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the way that most people have been doing this and the way that we have understood doing this is by doing some kind of re-opt-in campaign and actually encouraging your list to click a link and reconfirm their consent to receive communications from you. Now, there's a couple of things that means. The first is that you need to use a platform that can automatically segment lists. MailChimp will do this absolutely fine, as will Campaign Monitor, as will ActiveCampaign. I believe all three of those platforms are GDPR compliant, but before you proceed, please double check. So you have your existing list, you send a campaign out to them, asking them to click a link to confirm their consent, and when they click that link, that will move them into an opted in segment of your list. Now, you must only use that opted in segment of your list from May the 25th, 2018. Otherwise, you will be breaching GDPR. Simple. So that's point one. You need to use the right software that can handle automatically segmenting lists. Secondly, you need to define what each contact has opted in for exactly. So that means that you must declare when somebody is opting in what it is they are opting in for. If that is your newsletter, then they receive your newsletter. If that is marketing emails, then they receive marketing, product specific marketing emails. You cannot take one consent and roll it across to other communications. It does need to be stipulated at the point of opt-in exactly what it is that they're going to receive. You also need to make sure that any third-party contacts you've received, as I say, if you've received business cards or whatever from networking events, then you need to send them a campaign to opt into your email marketing as well. So just because somebody's given you a business card, for example, doesn't mean that that is their consent. You still need a record of that. So as you're going through this process, it may be worth setting up in MailChimp or whichever software you use a campaign so that as you receive business cards, you can add names to a list, hit the send button, and it automatically pings off a consent campaign or a drip campaign to them for that consent so that they can be added to the list and for future communications, etc. as we mentioned before, if someone has opted into your list but hasn't opened or engaged with your communications in a long time, that could be 6 months, that could be a year, we don't know, they must opt in again. So you're not prevented from resending them another opt-in email, but they do need to opt in again. All of this information that I've just spoken about above does need to be outlined in your privacy policy, and your privacy policy must be linked as a separate link, so not included with your terms, but as a separate link alongside any form where you're gathering personal information. Right, so that covers auditing your current database. Secondly, you then need to have the correct process in place before adding any new contacts. So before you start looking for new contacts or leads, there are a couple of changes required to your website and forms. Firstly, you need to change all forms on your site to include specific information on what the subscriber will get. We've just talked about that. Secondly, you need to link to your privacy policy on all forms. We just mentioned that. You also need to make sure that the process for unsubscribing from your database is clear and included on all emails going out. Now, that could be as simple as clicking a link, but if it is any more complicated than that, you do need to include it on your within the communication themselves. So that may mean that that little footer paragraph at the end of your emails does need to change slightly and does need to get a little bit longer and in more detail. You also need to include the process and information in your privacy policy so it's available for everyone. It can't be something that is available only after opt-in. You need to make sure that this information is available before any personal data is headed your way. Another thing is you need to make sure your email or your marketing automation software can create dynamic lists. We've covered that. And it is also good to check if your email or marketing automation software can track opt-in and engagement over time. Now, that's a feature that not every platform currently has in place. GDPR has obviously been in the pipeline for quite a while, but as yet, not every software platform has all of the tools that you're going to need. Now, they are going to be developed over time, and it's in the best interests of these platforms to develop these features over time. But as yet, not every platform has these, so you may need to put in place either a manual or some kind of semi-automatic process in the meantime until you settle on your preferred supplier and how that software works. You also need to identify any contacts that have not opted in directly. So we all know how having processes in place is it can be the best of intentions, but clients will come along or users will come along and they don't necessarily fill in the process properly. And it is your responsibility as the supplier to ensure that the process is followed properly. So if somebody doesn't complete the whole process, then you cannot add them as an opted in subscriber to your list or to your marketing. You need to make sure all your tick boxes are ticked before you can get on with it. Now, another thing to bear in mind with this is that GDPR does not only apply to marketing. And this is something that I've not heard too much about actually online or in some of the webinars that I've been part of so far as part of my kind of understanding of GDPR. But GDPR applies to your entire company. And what that means in reality is that both your marketing but also your sales team need to be compliant with GDPR. So you may need to arrange some kind of training for staff members to figure out exactly how that works within your business. But at least you need to be reviewing your current processes and being aware of anyone who uses spreadsheets, as we mentioned before, or any other software that they may use. I don't know whether you just let your sales team use their own systems for tracking leads. I don't know, maybe they use Trello. But really, as a company, you need to be saying, this is our process. This is the software that we use. We have checked that it is compliant with GDPR. This is the process we go through. This is how we record consents. And this is how our sales funnel fits in with marketing and the GDPR guidelines. And you also need to make sure there's a training cycle in place for any new employees you will get in the future, so that they will be brought up to speed with your GDPR compliance and your processes ASAP. And it is really your due diligence to do that. It sounds like you've got a lot of work to do, doesn't it? Believe me, across the board, it is daunting. However, by taking it one piece of the jigsaw at a time, it really can be done in an efficient manner. And really, it's a good practice for all of us to go and review some of this stuff. The next thing is, you need to manage your requests for information correctly. So as any of your users may request the data you hold about them and how you use it, you also need to be able to handle that in a timely fashion. Now, the documentation states that you have 30 days to complete any requests for information from the date that you receive it. Now, that does sound like quite a long time, but you also need to complete the request within that period of time. So on the basis that some of these requests may take a number of communications, I wouldn't be leaving it to day 29 before you start jumping onto them. It may be worth using some kind of autoresponder or marketing automation to initially trigger a response to a request so that somebody gets an instant reply, but then put an operating procedure in place where you can provide them with their information quickly. You can give more detailed information about how they can unsubscribe and how their data will be deleted. And you can review that information or maybe offer contact details to a real human being, so that should the discussion need to be taken further, then that user has a point of contact that they can do that. I realize in small teams that may be easier said than done, but really, from a GDPR compliance point of view, that's the bare minimum you should have. Now, alongside all of that, I know it's not something people want to talk about, but you really need to be prepared for a security breach and have a clear process in place of how you are going to deal with one. Now, remember, if a breach happens, you only have 72 hours to notify the individuals that breach has occurred. So actually, it may be worth you preparing some of your communications and some of your processes ahead of time, so that you're not caught short in that very small 72-hour window if the worst happens. What we have been doing and what some of our clients have been doing has been to prepare some crisis communications in advance, including social media posts, blog posts, emails, even PRs that could be released should you need to. We've also decided who is going to be responsible and what the process is for if a breach happens, so that we're not caught short, and who is going to manage the external communications as part of that process. We've identified which supervisory authority needs to be notified in case of a security breach, and we need to ensure that all of this information is supplied in the employee handbook, so that as any new employee comes and joins us, they know exactly how this process works, and we're covered in terms of our due diligence to our staff and our training needs and all of that kind of stuff. Okay, so there's two more things that I wanted to talk to you about. The first is reviewing our external suppliers to make sure they are GDPR compliant. Now, I've already mentioned a few times about if you're using MailChimp or HubSpot or whoever, that you can check whether they, you know, it is up to you to check whether they are GDPR compliant. Most of the well-known and widely used pieces of software now are GDPR compliant, but nearly all of them have details on their own websites to say that they are GDPR compliant or that they will be GDPR compliant by a certain date. And as long as that date is before May the 25th, 2018, then you're all good. If you do have any questions about any of that and the specific functions, though, I do highly recommend that you speak to the platforms directly. As I say, they all have support teams and they do all have information upon their own GDPR compliance status. So please contact them directly if you have any detailed questions about your contracts with them. Right, the final thing is to mention about your own privacy policy. So it's now more important than ever to make sure your privacy policy makes sense and is crystal clear. You could even be fined if this isn't correct. Now, I don't want you to get petrified about fines. Nobody really knows how this is going to be policed. But it is possible that you could be fined should your privacy policy not be clear. So what you need to do is update your privacy policy to include all any information that you have on GDPR and how you handle the data of individuals. You need to offer contact information within your privacy policy and make sure that contact information goes through to somebody or something that will notify you in a timely manner. You need to make sure that all forms on your websites, on your landing pages, in your marketing funnels, in any other places where you hold a form, surveys even, that they include a link to your privacy policy. And that, again, needs to be a unique link. You can't say view our terms and privacy here, for example. Privacy policy needs to be an item on its own. And finally, you need to make sure your privacy policy is public and easy to find. The easiest way we've found of doing that is by putting it in the footer of every page on your website and landing pages, etc., etc. So hopefully, this episode hasn't been too confusing. And I really hope that you found some actionable advice here. If you've got any queries on any of this, please do not hesitate to contact me in the group. That's peteeverett.com/group, or go to Facebook and search for the Marketing Development Podcast. And I'll offer as much or as little advice as I can. Once again, I do need to reiterate, I am not a lawyer nor a GDPR qualified person, but as somebody who has been looking into this for the past year or so, these are my thoughts. This is our advice as an agency that we have processed, that we have been giving out to our clients. So if we can help in any way, please get in touch or seek advice from any of the departments or any of the platforms that you need directly. So that's it. We'll see you next week. Hopefully it'll be a slightly lighter topic and normal service will be resumed. As I say, I'd love to see you in the group, peteeverett.com/group, and we'll see you next week.